When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. This is The Promised Land with me, Scott Saunders, talking all things Manchester United in what is going to be a busy final week of the transfer window. Obviously, I hope you are feeling a little bit better and the rage and the upset has kind of left you a little bit since that last minute João Pedro header and defeat at Brighton in the 95th minute, I think it was. Real sickener in the first away game of the season in the Premier League for United. But, you know, they've had a job to do this summer off the pitch in order to fix things on the pitch. And in the days removed from defeats, you know, things do get a little bit easier to stomach. And I'm very much in that camp today. And we've obviously got some positive news today. Tuesday, as I record this, Manuel Ugarte is on his way to Carrington to undergo a medical, depending on when you're listening to this. I think it'll probably be announced Wednesday, I would think. But Manuel Ugarte, United's number one target for a number of weeks now, is on his way to Manchester United for €50 million down and €10 million in add-ons. PSG have wanted all summer €60 million flat fee. So United have taken their time and may end up paying that extra €10 million anyway, depending on what the add-ons are. But good news, because you might have wanted Ugarte to be done weeks ago, but at the same time, United have got to show, as I've said on the podcast, that there are no pushovers in the transfer market. And what they have done with this signing is signed two centre-backs, a full-back and a striker as well as a central midfielder. So all of the positions that were absolutely imperative to be strengthened in over the course of this summer have, with Ugarte's signing, been strengthened. And I think, look, I'll look ahead. Maybe later this week, I'll do more of a deep dive into United's transfer window and how good and how successful it's been. But obviously, I'll touch on a bunch of things today because there's plenty of news to get into, not only with Ugarte. In terms of the outgoings, they are important as well. Scott McTominay on his way to Napoli, by the looks of it. €30 million. A little bit sad, but I'll talk about why I think that's absolutely necessary to do in terms of what United are looking to do at the moment. Hannibal on his way out as well to Burnley. And obviously, Jadon Sancho is still at Manchester United as I speak, with interest from the likes of Chelsea and Juventus. So we'll see what happens over the course of the next few days with him, because I'm sure United would like to raise a little bit more money by getting a player out that they don't... Well, it seems like they just don't want him. So if he ends up staying, I'm sure he'll be reintegrated into the team. But I think the fact that he hasn't been in the first two squads of the season so far shows that United are trying to get rid of Jadon Sancho. So we'll see what happens there. But yes, this is the Promised Land podcast with me, Scott. I hope you had a good weekend. I hope you're dealing a little bit more with... I'm definitely getting better at this, by the way. I feel like I'm my chat, you know... Ironically, I'm trying to say that I'm getting better at this and I'm stumped for what to say now, but I feel like you get the reps in, you know, and these things are a lot more easier to do after you get more experience and more practice doing things on your own like this. But yes, this is the Promised Land podcast. Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify for audio, and on YouTube as well, the Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast, because really appreciate the support from everyone. Had some so nice messages over the last few weeks. As well, and really appreciate all the support I've been given so far in the last month or so since I've been doing the podcast on my own. But yes, please give me a follow on social as well at @_ScottSaunders on TikTok. I've just posted a TikTok this morning about Manuel Ugarte and the tactical issues that I think his signing and the centre back signings could potentially fix. I'll try and do a longer, more explained version of that video in this podcast. But yeah, follow me on there. Follow me on X as well, @_ScottSaunders, and Instagram. I've asked a couple of times if you guys could follow me on Instagram, and a good few of you have. So really appreciate that. If you haven't done so already, @_ScottSaunders on Instagram as well. And the link should be in the description of the show. So let's talk all things off field at the moment, because look, United have needed to do a lot of work, and let's be real here. They've not done all the work that needs to be done, but at the same time, Ineos have known coming in that it's going to be absolutely impossible, unless you're living in a dream world, to be able to do everything that they want to do within one summer. So this is going to take a few years in order to get United to the place that they want to be. And defeats like Brighton are just going to happen along the way. Erik ten Hag is going to be his job now that all of the gaps, I think, all of the gaps, barring if there's more injuries, you know, you can't use them as an excuse, but the injuries might hold United back if they do get them. But in terms of what United have done in this transfer window so far this summer, they've signed players who will remedy or will fix or plug gaps in the team that needed to be plugged. So Joshua Zirkzee's come in, scored on his debut, and now funnily denied a goal for Alejandro Garnacho in United's first defeat of the season. I still can't get over that, by the way, still. But it's a little less raw than it was on Saturday. But he looks like he'll be really effective for United. Nusayem Mazraoui has signed, playing at right back. It looks like he's got all of the abilities to be able to fill in the role that United are going to be using him as, a maybe a rotational fullback option, maybe an understudy right back to Dalot when Luke Shaw becomes fit again. But with Luke Shaw's injury record, you never know how much he's going to be playing. So Mazraoui might be playing a lot of minutes over the course of the season. They signed two centre-backs as well, Lenny Yoro and Matthias De Ligt, and Manuel Ugarte will be following as well. Like I say, depends when you're listening to this, but I'm sure that deal will go through now without a hitch. And it's an exciting one, but not in the terms of exhilarating attacking player. But I think this is a player that United have needed for such a long time. So we'll talk about why I'll say high on it. I mean, let's just say I think Manuel Ugarte will fill a role that United need to fill in the tactics that United want to play and that what Erik ten Hag wants to play as well. And all the players that United have signed so far, I can understand why they've done it from a tactical perspective. And you cannot say that. You have not been able to say that in every summer transfer window over the last decade. Let's just say that. You know, we've had good transfer windows in the past. We definitely have. But that's because United have signed a shiny, expensive player, or because they've signed one of the greatest young prospects in the world. I think back to that summer where United signed Ronaldo, Jadon Sancho and Rafa Varane, and we thought it was the best thing ever. And obviously, you bring Ronaldo into that and you try and put him in a front line in a pressing system that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wanted to use, and everything became undone. And Rob and I talked on the podcast at that point about why maybe not everything was so rosy, even though one of United's favorite sons and one of United's greatest ever players had ended up returning to the club. So these guys don't always have to be super amazing, high profile players who bring with them loads and loads of social media followers and lots of attention, earning lots of interactions on social platforms. Like, this is the kind of stuff United used to value, but now, although those in charge of United used to value, I should say. But now, I think this is a really encouraging window. I really do. There's still plenty more to do. And obviously, I'm not saying that everything is going to be great and fixed and United are going to be absolutely perfect for the season to come, because I don't think that will be the case. I think we'll have painful days. We'll see how United deal with Liverpool this weekend. That could be another one. But in terms of the longer term plan and in terms of what United are looking to do and looking how to play, I think I understand every signing that they've made so far, all five, which is massive, really, really good. So let's talk a little bit about Manuel Ugarte then. He's going to be announced in the next few days. Might have been announced already, as I say, but he will be United's new central midfielder. And what are United getting here? I am no expert. I'm no tactical expert. I will say that. I've never claimed to be, but I understand why United are going and making this signing, because I look at how United have been playing over the last year or so, and I think, what do United need in that central midfield area? And it's been so damn obvious. It really has. Casemiro's been left to drown in an ocean of space. And the defenders behind him have just not been there regularly enough to be able to condense that space in front of him. And now United have signed two centre-backs and a central midfielder who probably his best attribute is being able to cover ground and being able to intercept balls and playing in one-on-ones and winning the ball back. He's not going to be the most penetrative passer in the world. And I know I have a colleague in the office at Nottingham Inn who is a PSG fan and watched Manuel Ugarte last season and particularly pointed out where, I'm sure everyone remembers if you watched the Champions League last year, when Newcastle beat PSG 4-1 at St. James's Park. And he, my colleague, pointed out that Ugarte was the guy that they pressed and the guy that they put under pressure. And that is what ended up working for them. Newcastle scored 4 that day and PSG could not deal with it. Other teams have been to St. James's Park and couldn't deal with the atmosphere and the intensity and that kind of thing. So that's a little bit of a concern. And maybe there are other teams who will do that. You know, United have to go to Newcastle this season. Maybe they use the same plan. But look, in terms of what United are looking to do here and looking at how United played last season, I get this signing. I really, really do. Now, this isn't the type of player that is going to sit in like a traditional number six, as far as I know anyway. And I've seen a fair bit of him, but I'm not saying I'm any expert, but obviously there's enough floating around to suggest what kind of player he is. And like I've watched him in matches. I've watched him not so much last season in PSG because he was on the bench, but I know that when he moved to Sporting, United and Arsenal wanted him and he didn't end up moving to, I think before he left for PSG maybe, but around that time, United and Arsenal have been looking at him for a little while. And in an Erik ten Hag system, I understand why this is a player that they want. So let me talk about Ugarte in the sense of what he can bring to the team using the other signings as well as examples of why I think this transfer window has been quite cohesive. So Matthijs de Ligt has signed at centre-back. We've seen him get 10 minutes of time in the first two matches. And I was definitely hoping that at Brighton he would be starting, but there wasn't to be. He was brought on for Harry Maguire towards the end. And Erik ten Hag has had a bit of criticism, obviously, for changing his defence, changing the personnel in there, and maybe upsetting the rhythm, upsetting the balance. But I do get why, you know. De Ligt has been away with the Netherlands and not played throughout Euro 2024. And then he's come back knowing that he's going to be sold by Bayern Munich. So he's not really had too much of a preseason. And the last thing United want to do after last season is rush players who are not ready into first-team football. And as much as I would have liked to have seen Matthijs de Ligt start, you know, I think Ten Hag and the team have decided that it's not the right approach for a player that did actually have injuries last season as well. So you don't want to rush him in, but you definitely do see Matthijs de Ligt and Lucho Martinez being or forming a partnership over the next few weeks, maybe, well, especially after the international break, providing there's no injuries, fingers crossed, touch wood. De Ligt has signed. Obviously, he's played under Erik ten Hag before, and obviously he knows the basics and fundamentals of what ten Hag will want from his team. He's very much a good defender on the front foot. His distribution is pretty good and probably a lot better than a lot of the defenders that United currently have. And he's good in one-on-one duels. He's very strong. He's good in the air. And I understand like the value he was going at as well. Matthijs de Ligt is definitely worth a punt. He really is, because I think this, what you want really is, ideally you'd like players to come in on their first big contract, as Ralf Rangnick used to say, but players who are, you know, are good, but want to come in and prove a point at a big club, they're worth a lot of money. They're really worth a lot to your team. He's a leader as well, and showed that in his teenage years at Ajax when he broke through under Erik ten Hag. So I understand that signing, and I hope De Ligt and Lucho Martinez can start playing regularly alongside each other to get that understanding as a pair as soon as possible, really. De Ligt was, he left for Juventus in 2019. And I think just a few months after that, Lucho Martinez was signed probably to replace him. I'm not sure whether that was a direct replacement, but the timing, if you look at when De Ligt left and when Martinez joined Ajax, it matches up. So maybe that as a back two is something that we can work forward with, and especially with the injury to Lenny Yoro at the moment. So United have taken an opportunity on Lenny Yoro, and he is known to be one of the best young centre-backs in Europe, wanted by the likes of Real Madrid, wanted by Liverpool. United paid the money for him because this was the opportunity to get him. And this is a player who, maybe along with De Ligt as well, these are two players who I think you'd really back and fancy a lot more than the current crop, or maybe the crop of defenders that United had before the transfer window started. You back these guys a lot more in one-on-one situations and running backwards than the current lot that United had. And I'm just going to, if you're listening on audio, I'll try and explain best what I'm talking about here. But if you're watching on YouTube, this is something that I will try and do now. I'm going to share my screen again because I put this tweet out this morning and I just need to sort this out here. There we go. Okay, right. So what I'm displaying here for people listening on audio is the image that went round so many times last season from United versus Liverpool, and this happened in the United Wolves game. This happened in the United Fulham game where they lost at Old Trafford. Basically, this is a picture of Man United's chasm of space in midfield, which we all looked at and thought, that's not good, is it? You saw so many memes coming out of this, so many images coming out of this. Basically, what used to happen, or what happened last season, was United were pressed with the front five. Mainoo, Bruno Fernandes, the two wingers, whoever it was and whoever was up front. That press would get beaten. And then Tottenham, I remember I was at the Tottenham game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium last year in the second game of the season. And this happened so frequently in that game as well. There were five players trying to press forward. That press was getting beaten. And then there was absolutely nothing behind that. The defense, I'm looking at this picture here, I'm probably guessing here you've got Dalot, maybe Rafa Varane, Wan-Bissaka, and I can't remember exactly, Harry Maguire or Victor Lindelof. None of these players really are front foot defenders, I'll say. Now, what you're seeing here, as I'm going to hover my mouse over this, I don't know if you can see it on the image itself, you actually can't, but there's a Liverpool player in possession with Liverpool having beaten the press, and the four players at the back are running backwards, absolutely terrified of the player in possession who's running into the ocean of space in front of him. And this would happen so often last season, and this is why Erik ten Hag will get absolutely ripped apart for his tactics. And it was kind of like two halves of a team. United had an attack that wanted to press and a defense that wanted to defend deep. And that resulted in all sorts of problems. And what used to happen, or what was happening quite often, was Casemiro or whoever the player was meant to be holding in the middle of the pitch was just overrun. Casemiro, we knew at the time, was not capable of defending that space. And there is no player in world football, maybe even N'Golo Kante at his peak, probably would struggle with that. Just to remind you again, if you're listening on audio, this is a picture of a Liverpool attacker. I can't remember who it was exactly. I really should have researched that beforehand. But this is a Liverpool attacker who is in possession just in the vicinity of the centre circle, just outside it, running up Man United's back four with no defensive screen or no defensive cover because the press has been beaten. The defence are running backwards, and so is everybody else on United's side because they need to cover ground and get back to stop this attack, even though they're about 10 yards behind the guy with the ball. Now, the important thing, and this is what I think United have addressed this summer, they've signed two centre-backs, as I mentioned, and got Lucho Martinez back, right? So You might have noticed it throughout the season so far, and it's happened in two matches, actually, the first two matches. And it's not really worked out for him, but Martinez, in particular, has flown out of centre-back to go and press the ball and been beaten twice. Fulham, in that game, I think that was the moment which led to that famous or infamous Fulham 2v1 or 3v1, which they created for themselves at Old Trafford, and Andreas Pereira just didn't use the ball properly. He passed the ball and Harry Maguire cut it out. That was after Licha Martinez went in to clear out a tackle and win the ball back and didn't win the ball back. So, you know, that's, to me, Martinez being in there, that is a demonstration of that is something that he wants to do and the coach wants him to do. And maybe we'll see that happen more often. Obviously, you have to get those moments right. And it definitely happened in the Brighton game as well with Martinez. I'm sure there's a clip of it going around somewhere, but Martinez tried that in two consecutive games and didn't win the ball. And United are obviously in trouble if one of their centre-backs goes out and doesn't get it, because it's way easier to counter-attack on. But I've always thought the main problem, or one of the main problems that United have had, is as much as the midfield was a problem, the centre-backs have been a problem. Harry Maguire, Victor Lindelof, Johnny Evans. I'm not calling Johnny Evans a problem, but he is 35, 36 years old and really shouldn't be playing regular minutes for United in their current iteration. And whoever else there is, Casemiro had to fill in at centre-back quite often last season due to the injury problems. And Rafa Varane was there as well. And obviously we know his injury record. He's since left and gone at Como. But United have now signed two centre-backs in Yoro and De Ligt. And I think the point of this, with Martinez being back as well, and him being left centre-back and then one of De Ligt or Yoro maybe playing right, maybe if Martinez isn't there and he goes to the left-back, then De Ligt will fill in at left centre-back. We'll see how it goes. I touched previously as well on how I think United still want another left centre-back, namely somebody like Jarrod Branthwaite, to come in as being the rotation option or the backup to Licha Martinez at left centre-back. I think centre-back has been a massive, massive problem for United. And when you saw Martinez and Varane play together last season, like in the FA Cup final, they invariably played well, but United would sit a lot deeper. Now, with De Ligt being in there and with Yoro being in there, I think what we will see is this defensive line that is running absolutely petrified of the attack that's coming right at them. They're running backwards to kind of protect the goal, obviously, but that means that that attacker can carry the ball to the edge of the box and then decide what to do with it. Probably with a lot of time to think about what he's going to do as well. With Martinez in there and with De Ligt in there, and given the evidence of what we've seen so far this season in United's game, I think one of the main things that United will be looking to do is close the space.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You should, as a good team, close the space from the defense to the midfield. If you close that space, it's invariably easier to defend, but you've got to make sure that there are players who are capable of winning that ball in 1v1 situations or pressing properly, or, you know, defending that situation properly so that the guy with the ball gets the pass wrong or loses the ball. Now, it's a high-risk game, because if you don't do that properly and you go up, and the offside trap isn't sprung properly, then you could concede goals for days because there's no defense left if they get the pass right. Especially against teams like Liverpool, who have shown that they're really, really good on the transition so far this season. But if you've got Martinez and De Ligt, who are much more, to my opinion, willing to go and meet that guy in possession and defend it rather than running backwards and panicking, that is how United make progress. And with Lenny Yoro as well, I'll add him to this. Now, we know that he's good on the ball. We've seen flashes of him, but one asset that Lenny Yoro does have as well, he will need to like fill out a little bit. He's only 18 years old, but he's very quick. And one thing the best centre-backs in the world can do at the moment is be able to deal with one-on-one situations. Like you think of Virgil van Dijk over the last few years and the joke of the aura that he has about how an attacker runs near him and they're like, oh no, I don't fancy that 1v1 because van Dijk's going to beat me anyway. That has been one of the reasons why van Dijk has been so revered over the last few years in a Liverpool shirt. Maybe William Saliba at the moment as well is getting to that kind of level and getting that kind of praise in an Arsenal shirt because he is a big, strong lad who's got everything. He's good on the ball. He's really quick, very, very strong as well, and just has that ability to be able to win 1v1 situations and keep Arsenal's game ticking over. Now, if United's defence, I've just mentioned the four players there, well, three players plus a left centre-back signing that I do think will be on the agenda and will hopefully come maybe next summer now, unless some kind of miracle happens or something. If that defence is much more willing to move forward and condense the space between the attack and the defence, like any good team will do, and this was pointed out on Sky Sports and lots of different places over the season last year, good teams don't have too much distance from back to front. They really don't. They condense that space in the middle to make it easier to win the ball back. And let's see if the defenders that United have signed, once they get up to speed and start playing the game, are able to do that. But then, what happens with that space in the middle? I'll stop sharing my screen because I'm sure you've got that point by now. Man United are looking to sign Manuel Ugarte as well, and probably will, and might have even done so by the time you listen to this podcast. So Manuel Ugarte is known to be very energetic. He's great at intercepting the ball. He's good in 1v1s. He covers space and covers grass very, very well. His anticipation's pretty good. And this is probably the case of a player who's like 23, 24 years old and is one of the, I won't say best in world football because I think that's maybe overselling him a little bit because he still has plenty of space to go. But maybe the archetypal defensive midfielder in world football at the moment in terms of like being able to cover all that ground and being able to mop up situations. And yes, you probably want him to be able to be better with the ball and better in possession. But the important thing that he can do is offer a lot better ability to cover ground and cover that space in the midfield than Casemiro ever could. And you probably think he'll sit in alongside Kobbie Mainoo, and maybe that'll be how United play for the duration of this season to come with those players in it. But this is the important thing here. Casemiro was left to deal with all that space when the defense was running backwards, and he got dribbled past like there's no tomorrow. He looked slow. He looked lethargic. He looked like he couldn't do it, to the point where Jamie Carragher said about him, leave football before the football leaves you. I'm sure we all remember that. I think that was around the Crystal Palace game where United got smashed 4-0 last season. Leave the football before the football leaves you. I think we've seen this season already that Casemiro is not like, he's not, definitely not what he used to be, but he's also not as bad as we've been seeing last season. I think the system, and I'm sure plenty of people will agree with this, the system is what put him out to dry. And that was because there was an adventurous press and defenders who were too scared to back him up, basically, in those situations. So he had to cover an ocean of space himself. Now what I think we're going to get is a defense that's much more willing to push up and condense that space, make that space smaller from back to front, as I was just saying. And now you've got a player in there, in Manuel Ugarte, who's coming in, who is better than Casemiro in dealing with that space anyway, however big the space is, and winning those interceptions and covering ground and just winning the ball back. Now, I've seen some comparisons over the last few days being to Javier Mascherano and maybe N'Golo Kanté. I'm not saying, and nobody's saying that this guy is going to be as good as those players. But in terms of the profile of player that United are going to be getting, maybe he will be more like that player than a Claude Makélélé. And that's why I think United are making the signings that they're making. Hopefully I've explained it well enough. I've definitely tweeted about it, and maybe I've always been better at words and writing things down in a much more concise fashion than speaking it. And I'm trying my best to put this in podcast format and in video format, obviously. But that is why I think United are making all these signings, to be able to condense the space much better than they were last season to keep the energy up that they're playing with. And I think what we've seen in the first two games of this season is an improvement. What's been the best thing about United so far this season from the two games that you've seen? The press. Absolutely. Unquestionably, the press has been the best thing that you've seen about United in the first two games. Much more cohesive. And that's what I wanted to talk about after the Brighton game the other day, but United ended up losing a goal, 90 plus 5. It is what it is. But that's what United want to do. That's how United want to play under Erik ten Hag, I think. And the signings that they have made should make the gaps that we saw in that Erik ten Hag team last season disappear. The first two games of the season have shown that in patches, and much longer patches as well, I'll say, especially with Mason Mount on the pitch, that United have learned what they want to do. And maybe from Erik ten Hag's side as well, he was trying to do it with one central midfielder last season. He's now playing more of a 4-2-4 with Mason Mount and Bruno Fernandes as the 10s, or like the players who press from the front. Two players who are alongside each other in midfield in Kobbie Mainoo and Casemiro, and then two wide players. So maybe he has reneged in a sense and is much more willing to play with two in there rather than one. And that might have to be the case. And if you take out Casemiro and put Ugarte in there, or you play Ugarte and Casemiro together, potentially, we could see that at times. Maybe that is how United will shore up their team. And knowing that there's players in there who are much more capable of winning 1v1s like Ugarte, with a defense behind them that if Ugarte is beaten for whatever reason, then you've got front foot defenders like close by to maybe get in the tackle the next time. And maybe that's the second line of defense. So if United win the ball back much better than they were last season, and they are able to play in a condensed space and close the gaps between how much these players have to run in order to defend properly, maybe you'll see a better Manchester United. Maybe you will. And there's still plenty of problems to fix. Obviously, United got to take their chances and like be much more clinical in front of goal. They've missed 6 big chances already this season in 2 matches. That's not very good. But if you can get better in out of possession and win the ball back a lot quicker, you probably conserve energy and are able to use that energy more on when you have the ball. So we'll see. Now, that was a hell of a lot longer than I actually thought it was going to be. Hopefully that makes sense, though, from what I'm saying. Look, I could be wrong, but that's just what I think. And let me know what you think about this, the system, what United are trying to do, what you think of United so far this season. Get in the comments, please, if you would. I would love the comments to come in on YouTube. Would be really, really helpful. Let me know if you agree or disagree with me. If you disagree with me, let me know why as well. I'd love to hear from you. And also follow me and get in touch with me on social media as well. @_ScottSaunders on X, TikTok and Instagram. Please give me a follow on Instagram, especially if you would not mind. Because I need to use it more. I really do. But anyway, there's still plenty more to talk about here. And maybe I'll touch on the transfer window on the whole closer to the deadline, because like Hannibal's on his way out, going to Burnley for 9.5 million. And generally, I think when you look at how much United are actually raising through sales, one of the biggest issues that United have had over the past two transfer windows is they just can't sell players. They just can't. And while you may say that some of the fees that they've got for some of the players that they're selling aren't very good, you just, at some point, when you're in a weak position, you just really have to temper your expectations a bit and just take the losses or take the hits in order to build yourself back up, to create that PSR space that you need to create in order to reinvest. And then once you make progress on the pitch and once you have more players within your team that are able to execute the style of play the manager wants, once the team is playing better, maybe down the line you'll be in a better position to sell players. And maybe down the line you'll stop paying players 350k a week to come in and do a job for a year. Because they're definitely difficult to shift. And Chelsea are finding that with Raheem Sterling at the moment. We'll see what happens there. He's been linked with United this week, but not for me. The last thing we're talking, well, just to mention Jadon Sancho and Raheem Sterling there. There's been talk about a potential swap between Chelsea and United over Sancho and Sterling. And I think the last thing, I think Raheem Sterling has got a difficult rap for a lot of his career. I think he's been a lot better than people have made out. He's had a very good career, very successful career, and won a lot of titles with Man City. But at the same time, I think a lot of the goals he scored for Manchester City were down to the system his coach created. A lot of the goals he scored were tap-ins at the back post. And Manchester City like to get the ball to the six-yard box, cross it across, and then take everyone out of the game with somebody at the back post that's happening. I saw that goal so many times scored by Pep City, and Raheem Sterling scored a lot of goals through that method of play where he effectively couldn't miss. But his instincts in front of goal just don't, you know, when he's got time to think and when he's got time to pick his spot and stuff, invariably, and you saw it at Chelsea a lot last season, I think he had like 3 one-on-one moments in Chelsea matches and didn't pass or didn't take the chance on three occasions. And the last thing I think this United attack needs is another player like that. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, whatever happens with Jadon Sancho, I think that is going to be one that's going to go closer to the deadline, probably. And we'll see how that goes. If Juventus or Chelsea can come up with the right deal, we'll see. But I just did want to dedicate the last few minutes of this to Scott McTominay, who is on his way out. It's a sad one. Scott McTominay to Napoli is happening. I'm just bringing up a tweet from David Ornstein as well, which has just gone out as I've been recording this. Bear with me one second. Scott McTominay's move from United to Napoli, now down to finalising personal terms between United midfielder and Napoli. Not flying yet, but subject to agreement on contract, he will travel for a medical ahead of his proposed switch. And he's expected to travel today, David Ornstein has said earlier as well. £25 million with a sell-on clause. How much United will get from that sell-on clause, I'm not sure. but look, €30 million is... United could have got more for him if they'd have sold him last summer. I think they had a £30 million offer from West Ham. But McTominay is potentially, and I have a colleague, Jamie Spencer, who writes for United as well. I've known him for a long time, and he's pointed out this morning, McTominay is potentially the fourth most expensive player United have ever sold, which is mad. Absolutely mad. There's a bunch of players around £25 million depending on add-ons. That's crazy. United should be selling a lot better than that, but it does go to show how important this sale could be in a PSR sense, right? Obviously, you don't want to boil down players to their worth on PSR, because that is entering Chelsea territory, and United have always prided themselves on being perhaps one of the best clubs, certainly, for their use of their academy and the progression of academy players to the first team. They're one of the best in the world at it, and they've had an academy player in the first team squad since the 1930s, which is a record that is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. But the way that football is at the moment, the way United's position is, I completely get how people look at Scott McTominay and think he absolutely loves the club and I don't want him to leave. And I get that is absolutely valid. I think United probably would have preferred to sell someone like Casemiro, probably, rather than McTominay this summer. But I think long-term anyway, I don't think the profile of player that Scott McTominay is necessarily fits in with the style of play that United want to play under Erik ten Hag. And it's a shame. But that's why I think it's the right call. And obviously, Fulham have been interested in McTominay and gone for Sander Berge instead. But McTominay is getting a move here. If he accepts it, that is, as I record this, I'm still not sure if he's going to accept it. But it's looking likely that it'll happen. And Napoli is a great move for him. It's a really, really good move for him. So I think this is a deal that suits all parties. McTominay gets to join an absolutely massive club, try a new challenge in a different league, and better himself under a really, like, as much as you want to rinse Antonio Conte, a very, very good, very proven coach at the top level. And we'll see what he can do with Napoli this season. But McTominay in Serie A, I think it can work. And obviously, I'm sure everyone wishes him all the best. But if this rebuild is to work and this evolution under Ineos is to work, not every decision that they make on buying players and selling players is going to be a popular decision, especially sales. They're not all going to be popular decisions, but hard decisions have to be made if United to progress, because we've seen over the past few years that United are just not very good at selling players. They're just not very good at it. And this summer has been a massive departure from that. As much as they've taken undervalued deals on a few players, they are doing the right thing and they have raised a hell of a lot of money. Over £100 million, I believe, or over €100 million, which will do wonders for United and their freedom in the next few years in PSR terms. And they've also spent a lot of money as well, which is, I think they probably spent more than we thought they would have at the start of the summer. But it's been a really difficult transfer window to navigate for Ineos and for Dan Ashworth and for Omar Berada and everybody who's responsible for this, and Jason Wilcox. But as it stands now, once Ugarte goes through, providing it does, touch wood, and once McTominay leaves, I think we can look at this transfer window and think they've done a really good job so far. A really, really good job. While I'm not saying that this is by any means done or any means complete, there's definitely a hell of a lot more work to do. But in terms of a first summer window, in terms of what you want to see from United, in terms of moving from the malaise that they've been in to more towards a tactical identity, all the transfers that United have made so far this summer, and including Ugarte in that, make sense from a tactical perspective. What United will need to do in the future is find more players from their academy, train them up to play in the system that they want to play, the game model, as has become popular, play in the game model that the club want to play, find managers, if Ten Hag is still there or not, if Ten Hag fails, find another manager who can play the game model that you want to play as a football club, bring players through your academy, and also look at other players from other academies, you know, in different parts of the world, who can potentially come in and join that, and also find players who, in future transfer windows, that is, who can either raise the level of the first team by, if United can find a better player in 2 years than Manuel Ugarte, who is good on the ball as well and does that job as well, then maybe that's how you move on. But also creating depth with players who are like for like, you know? Really important, really good window from Ineos so far. And we'll see what else they end up doing. But yes, definitely in the McTominay terms, when the news came through the other day that he was going to be leaving, or it looked like that United had accepted an offer from Napoli, felt a bit sad about it. I got to say, it's never nice to see a player who loves the club as much as he does leave. And I watched back and tweeted the other day about the goal he scored in the derby at Old Trafford in the rain just before lockdown. I think it was the last game before COVID and before lockdown. So it's obviously with the significance of the win that day, the rain and everything, and the fact that it was the last game in a stadium for like a year in a stadium with a crowd for like a year or whatever it was. Massive, absolutely massive. I'm really glad he had all the moments that he did in a United shirt. But I obviously wish him all the best and hope he really does well in Italy. But at the same time, it's fine to say this move had to happen. It's football, it's business, and that's the way that it is. And if United are to start succeeding, they have to take difficult decisions on players that might be popular. And that's just kind of how I feel on it. But look, I'll be back for another episode before the Liverpool game, maybe after the transfer window closes, to look ahead to that and talk about United's transfer window on the whole, if anything else major happens. But yeah, hope you've enjoyed this today. I've been trying to break down my interpretation of what I think United are trying to do with their signings versus their tactics. Hopefully it makes sense. Let me know if it doesn't. Let me know if I'm wrong. Tell me as well on social media and in the YouTube comments. Tell me your thoughts. So yeah, please subscribe on Apple and Spotify for audio. And please subscribe on YouTube, The Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast. And get in the comments as well. I'd really appreciate it if you could let me know what you think. And give me a follow on the socials as well, at @_ScottSaunders on X, TikTok, and Instagram. Please do give me a follow on those. And let me know what your thoughts are. And keep in touch. Really appreciate all the support from everyone. I'll be back later this week, probably around the end of the transfer window, to reflect on the transfer window as a whole. Maybe like I just did, but with a little bit more focus on some of the players that are leaving. But let's see. Manuel Ugarte looks like he's on his way to Manchester United to join four other players that have signed so far. I'll be back soon, everyone. This has been Scott from the Promised Land podcast. Until next time, thanks for watching and thanks for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.